There he is.
Yeah, I just had to run outside because I heard Columbo meowing strangely, and I found that he had a slow worm in his mouth.
What's a slow worm?
It looks exactly like a snake. It's got a slithery tongue. No. It's got eyes, and basically, it's like it's a lizard without any arms or legs, and it's a snake, pretty much. Yeah.
That's a scary thing to have to retrieve from your cat. You pulled it out. You got it back.
Yeah, he sort of leaves it on in front of him, and he like plays with it now and again. So it wasn't in his mouth this time, thankfully. So I just got a bit of tissue paper and hid it under a hole under the decking. And there's three other slow worms in there from before. So I don't know where he's getting them from, but he's loving finding the slow worms at the minute.
Sloan Square.
Sloan Square wins the race. Exactly. Let's get this party started.
They're back. The show with the pressure and Frosty.
This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for.
Hello and welcome to the show with the pressure and Frosty. This is May, and can you believe it? It's really hot. It's really sunny. I'm loving it, but my God, I wasn't expecting it. My body's not used to it. It's just happened, and I just don't know what to do with myself. I'm just a bit giddy.
Shorts yet?
Well, I'm at work at the moment. I haven't got my shorts out today. I was wearing a shirt and tie, trousers, shoes.
Sandals yet?
I don't think I could ever wear sandals to school. That's taking it.
I see you as a sandals and socks kind of guy. I could see you doing that in front of the year sixes or whatever.
Sandals and socks, no way. I think the furthest I go is to not wear a tie, and I undo two buttons on my shirt. That's the furthest I've gone.
But not today, because you're still buttoned up and looking like you're, you know, leading a class of young, hungry personalities.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know, it's... I'm just not ready for it. So I've got my shirt and tie on, and it's the crazy thing is, this is to me blazing, but it's only like 21, 22 degrees. Can you imagine when it gets to like 30?
It's because it was about, you know, 7 or 8 degrees a week ago. So this swing of 15 degrees has caught us all off guard somewhat.
Yeah, it's great though, because it's like, you know, you don't even realize it, but like it creates like a sensation in your brain, or like the smells, you have that smell memory, and you can smell certain pollens and fragrances, and it just gives you a little bit of a buzz, you know. So I'm just walking around smelling these things and feeling, oh, this is nice. I remember that. That's good.
Oh, I'm buzzing. I smelt a daisy, and I couldn't stop smiling after that, and sweating as well. So.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of sweat going on. There's a lot of sweat. I was out this afternoon taking a bunch of 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, and I taught them how to play rounders for the first time. Yeah.
That's satisfying. Were they any good?
They didn't have a bloody clue how to play. It was like herding cats. It was like, now you're on base one, base two, base three. And what you want to do is get the ball. If the bat, I'm not explaining it very well now myself. If the bat is running towards you, and you've got the ball, tap the base so they're out. And also to the batters, if you're on base one and your teammate hits the ball, you've got to run because they will run you out. And it happened about 6 times. You've got to run now, run. And they're like, and then I said they're out. And then they started crying.
Crying?
Like, yeah, the kids. And I was like, I didn't mollycoddle them. I was just like, yeah, that's, you know, we're having a practice. You know, you're out. It's not the World Cup. Just remember that for next time, right? Yeah. Don't do it again.
And then what happens when they start crying? They just stand at the side weeping.
Yeah.
And then you get on with the game.
Pretty much. I'm really losing patience for children crying. And I think it's good to not give them the attention when they cry, because they'll just cry more. So I'm like, come on then. Oh, they're there. Have a sit down there. When you're ready, come back. And I just walk off and let them have a little cry. And they're fine after that.
It's school. Yes, they should be over crying to get what they want. They should know that this is the place where you can't get away with that sort of thing.
I know, but there are some children that develop a lot slower than others. And there's about, I'd say, maybe 5% in every class where they're a bit slower to develop emotionally than others. And yeah, they just cry. But also, this was a year two class. So, you know, they are still like 6, 5 and 6. So they're still quite young.
I don't really remember crying in school much, ever.
I didn't cry either. I was scared of the teachers. I would always listen to them, and if any of the teachers said anything or looked at me, I would just go bright red and just be silent because I would be so scared. One time I needed to have a pee, and I was scared to ask the teacher to go to the toilet, so I just peed myself.
I had that in karate. I was scared to ask because he was quite a scary bloke.
Yeah.
And would just sort of shout things at you and yell, and then I had to go. So then it just seeps out and it goes everywhere. And then he got a towel out and was sort of shimmying it around with his foot on the floor to wipe up the wee. And
wipe
it was
up,
wipe
off.
Yeah, it was tough anyway, karate. And yeah, that made it just that little bit tougher.
Were you yellow belt after that? Yeah, but it was a fun day, and I just feel like, you know, we're in a sort of a summer set, you know, and I need to just think about how to enjoy it. Like dressing up, that's good. Being outside, how does one be outside, you know, and do something, you know, like get a book and read outside. I need something. I can't just sit there, like listening to music. I can't just sit and listen to music. I've got to do something and enjoy it. So I need a sub activity. What do you do?
Play some music. Make some something creative. Just take it outside. You're usually sat in your dingy little cabin shed. Just get outside. Take that guitar outside. It probably hasn't seen the light of day since it was first strung back in whenever that was. So get it outside. Just see if being amongst the nature and out of your little box, come out of your comfort zone and into the garden, into the sunshine, and see if that helps. Maybe inspire some more upbeat music rather than the sort of downtrodden, miserable, depressing stuff that you usually write.
That's very true. I'm writing some songs, and I'm actively making myself, I want to make like a positive, poppy, party, upbeat song. And every time I start, it starts like fast and then it just goes down. And I like the songs, though. The thing is, I don't want to not develop them because I'm quite pleased with how they're going. But they always seem to be going in that sort of negative way. And yeah, you're right. Maybe going outside, being a bit al fresco could be fun. I mean, I've got the doors open in the cabin now because it is baking in here. It's baking. So the doors are open in the cabin, which is quite nice. I was thinking about getting your laptop out and doing it in the garden. I can see you're in a different area. Where are you?
I'm in the indoor garden here at the hotel because the studio, they're doing a radio show right now. So I thought, well, I'll come to this little area, which is, usually quite relaxed and quite quiet. And it is today. There's no one here at all, which is nice. And I even asked them to, hey, mate, could you turn the music off? I've got to do a really important call. could you just... So they did. So I'm just in the garden here at Mama Shelter, which is glass covered and full of beautiful foliage and nice sort of wicker chairs, and it's just me in here talking to you, which is quite nice.
It's like you were David Attenborough in Jurassic Park. That's what it looks like to me, you know, that wicker and the big leaves. It's very nice.
But I am recording on my iPhone the video, so we'll see how that goes, because this Mac that I'm using wasn't update enough. It was like, oh, I can't work that, sorry. So I thought, all right, it kept asking me to do it on the phone, so we're doing it on the phone and we'll see how this goes.
Brilliant. I like it. I think, to be honest, the phone on the iPhones, the camera on the iPhones, better than the camera on the Macs most of the time. Macs cameras are not very good.
It's like when British people get together, they talk about the weather. When we get together, it just instantly gets into techno robots, gadget news. We've just come onto it, just like that.
We've come onto it, but we're gonna stick a pin in that because we are.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah, because we've got our format.
Oh, phew.
Yeah, because as listeners and viewers know, we are filming it live as well, and we're recording it live. So you might have noticed that the flavor, the character, the soul of the show might have been slightly different the past three episodes, four episodes, because normally what happens, a little bit of behind the scenes, is we'll do a podcast and I'll chop and change all of the segments and I'll put it into the format that you know and love. But this time we're just doing a live show, and it's kind of fun, you know? It's kind of fun. It's a bit like we went to the Arias this week, and we saw that the Arias is short for the Audio Radio Entertainment Awards, and basically we got to schmooze with the hoi polloi of all of live radio, linear radio, and also podcasts around Britain, and it was incredible. And it was just you know, it was a bit inspirational to speak to some people who've got a podcast and they can, you know, they'll be very successful and they make money out of it. I was thinking, how do we blinking do that? Like, we spoke to John Robbins and Ellis James, didn't we? And they were a cracking bunch of lads, they were, weren't they? They were really lovely boys, lovely guys, really funny, articulate. I really need to start listening to that podcast because it sounds amazing. They won an award, the Radio Times Award for Moment of the Year. And we had a chance to interview them as well, which is amazing. We need to do that.
And they said their first radio demo, their first pilot, was only a month before they got onto the radio. So I don't know what the backstory is, if they were comedians or they had been working on something that had been successful before in order to then just get it onto the radio. So I don't know what their outlier story is there. But lovely, yeah, lovely gentleman. I particularly liked your Welsh friend, who was very Ellis. Warm and personable for sure.
Yeah, Ellis, he's lovely. He's from Carmarthen, so we had a little bit of a chat about Carmarthen and all the other places, like Assigning College. He's just a really nice guy, you know. I could have talked to him for ages, but I suppose that's his, you know, that's why he's where he is, you know, because he could just chat to anyone.
He's a good talker, isn't he? That's why he's got a podcast. That's why he's on Radio 5 Live, XFM.
Yeah, absolutely. But who else did we chat to, Dave, on that night? That was in Drury Lane on Thursday night, Wednesday night.
We met Nish Kumar, comedian and lovely guy. We met Tim Burgess from The Charlatans. We shouted obscenities at Jeremy Vine. I brushed past Greg James as if, like, you know, when just someone just barges you in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Did that to him. And then also
Craig Charles.
Saw the back of Craig Charles's head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a great night. It was a lot of popcorn, a lot of fun. And yeah, maybe we'll put a couple of those interviews up on our Twitter page at @pressure_frosty. So keep an eye out for that and we can put some of those interviews out.
I was listening to Radio 3 this week.
Yeah.
And on the breakfast show Monday or Tuesday, they described it as X.
Oh, right. That's interesting.
And they no longer said formerly known as. They just said, on X, Pressure and Frosty have posted this. Now, Radio 3 targets quite an older audience, like way more senior than any of the other BBC outlets. So if Radio 3 are now assuming that people have caught up, then the rest of us should. I think we should just get rid of Twitter and call it its new name now.
Yeah.
As if it's always been like that. Snickers.
So.
When was the last time you said Opal Fruits? You know, it's just times have changed and we should probably change with them or we're going to get stuck in the past.
I completely agree. And I was having a similar thought to this. I was on the bus on the way back from the Arias that night and everyone had their phones. They were listening to TikTok, X, videos, and they didn't have AirPods in. They were just playing it. And, you know, I get annoyed by that because I put your earphones in. No one wants to hear that. And then I had that revelation. It's interesting we're talking about it now because I had that revelation of, oh, okay, that's what everyone does now. They're not doing it to be antisocial or to be annoying, or they're not even thinking about it because that is normal. And there wasn't just one person. There's about six people just playing their crap on there. I wouldn't do that. But what it allowed me to do was, even though I didn't agree with it and I didn't like it, I sort of understood it. And that sort of made me less annoyed in a way, because that is it now. People play crap on their phones really loud and that is it. You can either be annoyed by it or just go, well, that's what everyone's doing now and just get on with it.
It's more often on the bus. I think the bus attracts.
Yeah.
I guess the bus probably has a bit better reception than the train, but bus people don't have headphones. Train people, maybe the etiquette's a bit different.
I think so.
Transport to transport. And yeah, I don't like it. But as long as I can zone into my own sounds enough, then I can tolerate it just about.
Yeah, well, I've got the noise cancellation, which is very helpful on the bus. But you're right about the etiquette on the train. It still happens from time to time. I was on the train. I was in the quiet carriage. Now, that is unforgivable.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it was just me and this one guy at the time. It was early in the morning. I was going somewhere to London. And, he was playing rubbish on there. And I think I was, like, trying to learn a script or something for an audition. I was getting really annoyed. And I said to him, excuse me, have you got headphones? And he went, oh, no, I don't. And I said, well, you're playing noise. It's just, and he said, oh, I'll turn it down. I said, no, This is the silent, it's the quiet carriage. I didn't say you won't, because I think that's a bit aggressive, but I said, it's the quiet carriage. It's just, you know, you don't play music then. And he didn't. And he was just watching his videos silently. And 80% of me was pleased of it. But 20% felt guilty that he was like, oh, I can't play the thing. But yeah, I did say it then. The weird thing was, later on, there was another group of people. And they were like between 18 and 25, six of them lads. And they were playing noise as well, a little bit further down the carriage, not next to me. And I was like, do I go up to them? I did say it to him. And if I don't go to them, then he's going to be annoyed that I told him off and not them. And then I was like, oh, no, but like, there's a big group of people there. It wasn't just one person. It was like five people playing. And I was like, I should go up. But if I do go up, there could be nonsense, you know. And I there's a lot going on in my head. So I didn't get the job in the end. Just telling the director, these bloody people on the train, it's their fault.
Maybe apply to First Great Western then to be like a conductor or something, because it sounds like you've got more chance of, you know, convincing people on that stage than you do on the West Ends.
Yeah, yeah, I've got a bit more focus on that than my actual passion of drama and performance. It's been a weird week. Stacey's been away. She's been in Texas for a week, and I've been on my own. And
has that been nice? Has that been good? Just having the house to do what you want in, and just, you know, eat microwave dinners every day, and yeah, probably eat in your bedroom. I know,
yeah,
you like doing that, and just endless PlayStation on the telly and Xbox 360 marathons.
Yep. You've got it. Spot on. Like the first 2 days, I was like, I'm going to just buy pizza and have a pizza from Waitrose and some a big box of salad. And I just played Star Wars Battlefront 2 for hours and hours. It was brilliant. And then the following day, it was a Friday, so I thought, well, I'll get some ciders. I'll get fish and chips from the chip shop. I'll play Battlefront 2 again. I'll watch this film. And it was great. And then after that, I was like, oh, okay. And the problem was, I wasn't washing up after myself, because I had that feeling of like, oh, yeah, this. And in the end, the kitchen, it was like four plates, not even piled up on top of one another, spread out. I had old chips from the Friday, and I put too much ice in my glass. So I put ice on the plate, so the chips, so that I had like watery chips and just crap everywhere all over. And then I woke up Saturday morning going, what have I done? What? I'm not this guy. So I just spent the whole morning just cleaning up after myself, and I was like, no, let's sort that out now.
What a feral child you are. Left alone for 2 minutes and you're eating pizza, chips, putting, you know, just making a mess of the house that you helped to build within 2 minutes of Stacey leaving and walking out the door. It's unraveled.
She's gone.
You sat there in your pants, just, you know, scratching no goodness knows what.
It was, though. It was like that. Right. I was 21 again in a bad way. Because, yeah, I was 21 just being a slob, proper slob. But, you know, I did have that moment of clarity. What am I doing?
Okay. Yeah, to eventually. I suppose you did it sooner rather than later, because if you left it till the day before she got back, then pile of plates everywhere would have included bowls and everything. No.
But since then, though, I think when I had that moment of clarity, I was like, okay, I'm going to clean as you go. And I did it, clean as you went. Did the lawn. And then even when I was feeling lazy, I just thought, oh, this looks really good. I'll just put that away. I've got a dishwasher. I don't even have to wash the dishes. Just put it in the dishwasher, man. But yeah, it was nice. But I'm really glad Stacey's back, because it's like, oh, okay, this is how my life is. And I like it. So thank you for coming home, Stacey. Love you.
Good. Back to the routines, which we know that you love so dearly.
Yeah, well, talking about routines, I think we should talk about some gym talk.
Ah, yes.
Gym talk. Ooh. So we got gym talk. How's it been going for you this month, Dave? You're looking pretty trim at the moment.
I was on holiday, so that was just really tricky to try and get in, just try and do stuff. I did a few little workouts on the beach in Rio, which was quite fun. And there's like mobile workout stations in Brazil. They look like bus stops. When you get a bit closer, you can see there are bars to do chin-ups, and there's bits to do sit-ups and dips and things. So I had a little play with that in Rio a few times, and then Found a little place on the grass in Paracchi to just do some nice morning stretches and a bit of a HIIT workout. Nice. And then in Sao Paulo, we had a mini gym on the roof. So I went there and just played around with the weights, did a bit of running, and just tried to keep things ticking. When you're on holiday, it's tricky, though, because you're eating so much junk and you're drinking and then moving around all the time. There's not really much. It's just factoring that in. Plus, it was quite warm. It was definitely hard to stay on top of it. And just eating so much junk and drinking, it's just like left me a bit. Whoa. But I joined a gym today.
Oh.
I signed up this morning and I'm ready to just go gung-ho at the gym now. Just really, when you don't go enough, then you forget what to do and you feel a bit awkward using machines. And if you can't do your specific workout, then you're like, oh, and you don't cut corners, but you leave a bit earlier. If you go regularly, like 4 times a week-ish, then on the days when you can't specifically get on that machine, you'll just do something else or you'll do a different body part. So I trained today and it felt pretty good. 500 calories in 47 minutes. I probably could have gone on for a bit longer, but I've got to go back tomorrow. I ran for 10 minutes and I upped the speed ever so slightly.
Yeah.
And I think I'll leave it a day or two and then I'll run again on the treadmill for about 10 minutes and up the speed slightly. Yep. And just going to kick it now because the weather's looking good. I've got a good tan. We've still got a month or two before summer proper kicks off here in the UK. Yeah. So just going to just get into doing weights again, which I absolutely love. And just get into just maybe if I've got a bit of free time, just go and muck about on the cross trainer for 20 minutes rather than probably playing around on my phone and scrolling nonsense. Just go and like sweat it out. And so my gym is I'm feeling optimistic. Day one complete.
Day one. I hope you're going to get nice and meaty. Is that your plan? Get a bit chunky, bit of meat on your bone?
Don't know. If I eat a bit more protein, eat a bit less carbohydrates, get heavier, progressively heavier weights, then surely that's how you get meaty. So it's never really happened for me, but I'm going to keep trying.
Good.
I'll keep going.
I like it. It's at the start again. It's sort of a similar point with me. I was doing so well getting training for the Reading Half Marathon, and then I twanged my hamstring, and I literally could not run. And I haven't really run for about 7 weeks now. You know, I've been on the exercise bike and I've been burning calories. For an hour, I can do about 800 calories, which is really good. I could sweat loads on the floor. It's like a big pool of sweat. But I can't do it regularly because it's just, you know, boring. And you can just stop when you're tired. You can't when you're running. So I really am missing running, and I'm going to test it out this Saturday. If I can run 3 miles this Saturday, I will feel so happy, and I'll feel free to do it again in the mornings because I've missed that routine. I've not done much really. I've not done any. I've just not had the mental state because I felt like I've lost the momentum. I do this little thing, but that's not going to do any good because I need to have a routine, and I haven't got a routine. But I feel like similar to you now. I'm ready to restart and get a little bit excited about it. And as you say, thankfully there's a month or two till summer because I want to get a bit beach body ready. I'm far from it right now. But if I can run this Saturday, it'll be amazing, and I'll feel so good. I'm supposed to do the Hackney Half a week Sunday, but I just think it's not worth risking the hamstring, so I'm going to put a no to that. And then I will let you know. I'll let you know, guys, how I'm doing in June. Fingers crossed. Me and Dave. Dave's going to be a chunky monkey, and I'm just going to be running like a header, just going for it, trimming. I'm going to be trimming and Dave's going to be chunking.
This big pool of sweat afterwards, do you make any attempts to clean it up or to just mop it down or to just, you know, make it pleasant for the next user?
Yeah, I got a sweat rag. I've got to use my sweat rag. It's upstairs. It's in the bedroom. So it's just me and Stacey anyway. But yes, if I didn't mop it up, genuinely, it's like a pint glass has just fallen on the floor. That's how much there is. It's everywhere. But I like that. It's like a sense of, I did that. It's an achievement, you know?
That's the best time to weigh yourself once you've had a workout like that, because you've just sweat it all out and the scales will say the nicest thing to you. I need to get back on the scales just to see, because if I have put on a bit of weight since Brazil, it would be nice to see that now so that I can chip away at that and be like, yeah, come on, svelte.
Svelte, exactly. Well, now it's time for a little bit of gadget news. Here we go.
Gadget news from the show with the pressure
and Frosty. Apple have released a new iPad. It's got a new chip. It's the M4 chip. The screen's a bit better. The battery's a bit better. But it's selling itself as the world's thinnest iPad. So it's a lot, not, it's like a couple of millimeters thinner, but every millimeter is a lot. So that's what it's selling it as. But it's had a little bit of controversy in how it's been advertised. An advert came out yesterday showing this massive industrial crusher. And in between that are items that the iPad can do. So it's got pianos, guitars, pens, you know, all musical instruments and games, televisions, and it crushes it down. It's quite satisfying. It's a bit like ASMR when you see things crushed down. But it's had a massive backlash. Japan have really disliked it because they're saying that it is disrespecting the craftsmanship that's been made for the instruments themselves. And on Twitter, people are saying it's disgusting. You know, you shouldn't be destroying things. I know you're doing it for an advert, but still, that, you know, people spend a lot of time making the pianos and the guitars and all of that. And on BBC News today, Hugh Grant has actually said, called this advert the destruction of the human experience, courtesy of Silicon Valley. And it's only just started now. People are saying it's crushing the arts. So it's had a really, really bad backlash, and Apple are normally pretty good with things like that. So I wonder how they're going to respond, because they will definitely have to respond to their extremely distasteful advert, as what one person said. So, yeah, so Apple's thinnest new iPad.
Well, well, wow. I switched back to using Safari on my Mac. What browser do you use?
Well, I use Safari most of the time, but on things like Riverside.fm, which is what we're recording on, and for Zoom, I use Chrome because that works better with the resources.
Oh, I should have tried Safari on this one. Yeah, my Mac seemed to just be whirring and getting hot for no reason. And I had a little look to see what was running in the background today, and then just closed it all and then thought, oh, why don't I switch to Safari? Because I do remember someone once saying to me, oh, you shouldn't use Chrome, it's full of diseases, etc. So I switched back to Safari and swapped all my keychain info over, which was a bit of a faff, and it seems to have cooled it down a bit, and I feel could be the way forward for me. I might be a Safari, which feels quite retro because it's not a browser that I've used since, I don't know, 2012, but it's a little subtle change in my life.
Yeah.
Safari, the gym, yeah. Who knows what next.
It's all happening. It's all happening. Yeah, Chrome's usually used for high resource heavy things for myself, and then day-to-day stuff, Safari, because it doesn't get in the way. It's quick, simple. It does what it says on the tin.
I listened to a bit of Today in Focus on The Guardian, and they were talking about Tesla.
Yeah.
And this new sort of kind of Tesla Jeep 4x4
Cybertruck.
Car that's just had the Cybertruck, which has had all manner of problems at the launch. They smashed the windscreen when they were trying to prove how strong it was.
Yeah.
They tested it in the snow and it got stuck. They put it on the beach. It's meant to be a 4x4. It got like marooned in the beach. It's been rusting like much sooner than it should have. Like the brake pedal, there was a famous celebrity and the brake pedal just snapped off. It's just all these, they've had to do a big recall of all 3,000 that have been sold. And it's just not really, it's just not really working out so well for them.
And the funny thing is, all of the owners are sort of diehard fanboys. They won't hear anything bad about it. There's a Twitter feed or Twitter sort of set of messages where people have sliced their legs on the corner of the door, and it's like a proper gash. They've had to have stitches, and the thing is, they're saying it's not my fault. I just opened the door wrongly, and there's loads of people just like blaming themselves, not the sharp edge of the door. It's absolute madness.
Yeah, they've been struggling because there aren't enough components to make the batteries, and production isn't going as well with Tesla. However, they just laid off a load of staff. Therefore, the share price has gone up despite their lack of selling vehicles that you can drive. But that's the crazy world of technology we live in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some people just go nuts for that sort of thing. And they've the advertising has worked, obviously. There's a new artwork that's in New York City and in Dublin, and it's called The Portal. And I think this is amazing. It's a really... Have you seen Stargate, the TV show and film Stargate, where you can go to...
I've seen the film. Yeah, I saw the movie years ago.
Yeah, so there's a big circle, and you walk through the portal, and you go to the other place, and it's a massive circle, right? So in Dublin and New York, there's a huge circle, and it's a screen, and it's a live feed to New York or a live feed to Dublin at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's on, and you can just go there and just like wave to people in New York if you're in Dublin, or vice versa. You can do like a dance. I don't think it picks up video as audio, but you can like do all sorts of stuff. So it happened, I think it opened this week, and it's been really lovely. You know, people are just like waving to people in New York and dancing and doing mimes and playing charades and sending messages. It's kind of a cool art thing. Yeah, it's nice. More of that, I'd say.
More of that, we say here on the show. If you get to the National Gallery this weekend, they're celebrating their 200th birthday with a free light show on Saturday and Sunday evening in Trafalgar Square. Get there for, I think, about 9 p.m, which is around sunset sort of time. And the whole building is going to be lit up in a sort of cosmic, futuristic sort of way, celebrating 200 years of the National Gallery.
Oh, wow. Now, these are two very uplifting and positive stories, so it must be time for What Gets Your Goat, obviously. Let's bring us back down to where we really belong.
What gets your goat? Who 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 gets your goat? What gets your goat? Who gets your goat?
I know that we normally have a theme. You normally talk about the tube. I normally talk about Aldi. That's what we do. And I try to stay away from Aldi, but I can't help it, you know. This happened a couple of weeks ago where you're in the queue. I do my weekly shop on a Friday. Everyone knows this now. I do a weekly shop on a Friday, and I've got quite a bit of stuff because it's a weekly shop. And sometimes if there's a person behind me and they've got a loaf of bread, I'll say, do you want to go in front of me? And it feels so nice to do that because they are so genuinely thankful, and it's a simple thing. It costs me a second, if that, to do that. So, yeah, go in front, no problem. And they say, thank you, cheers. Oh, heartwarming. And then another person comes behind, and they've got, like, a bag of peas. And I'm like, okay, you go ahead, right? And then I'm thinking, okay, now that's enough. And there's another person with a milk. And I'm like, I'm not letting you through. I've let two people through now, but that person with the milk hasn't realized that. So they think I'm just a selfish guy with my whole shopping, and I'm just not letting them through. And I can see them looking. I can see them tutting. I can just see them. And I was like, I just let two people in. There's no way to get out of it, you know? So that got my goat, you know? Doing a good thing, turning bad.
Isn't there a self-scanner there? Can't they just go to that? Because surely you would know if there's checkouts and there's people with a lot of stuff, that's where they go. And the self-scanner is for if you've just got a few little bits and pieces of basket size shop.
Well, in the Aldi that we've got, it's very exciting because the one I usually go to, they are actually installing them. And they should be. I'm going tomorrow. I'll let the listeners know. But tomorrow, I'm going to try it. And they said they should be installed. So there should be self-service scanners tomorrow. And I won't get that problem again. So
okay. Nice. That's nice.
Nice.
In London, Lime bikes are really popular. They're electric bikes that you can hire by the minute. And you can drop them everywhere. They are pretty convenient and they're pretty nippy. They're good. They're good. They're a good addition. However, people just park them. That this is a little bit more restricted now in where you can park them, and it's typically bicycle bays. So where you would park your bicycle usually, these places are just getting filled up with Lime bikes now. So you get there and you think there's no spaces, then you have to fight your way through a load of Lime bikes. They have a bit of an alarm that goes off if you touch them without hiring them, and you're sort of like trying to shimmy around moving these bikes out of the way. And that people, like, someone parked one in the cycle lane yesterday on London Fields whilst
I've
people were riding.
There
was a gust of wind came and it
well.
Fell over. And the end, just they caught people just parking them in very inconsiderate places is making life for real cyclists quite the bother.
Yeah, I've seen it a lot, and I also think it makes the place look a bit sort of messy and untidy. You know, it just looks like people are just chucking stuff everywhere. I mean, what's the solution to that? Could they just pop it in a little hub, or I mean, they should have a geolocation thing, shouldn't they? Like a bike shelter or something.
Yeah, there's just, I guess there isn't enough space. They've put these bikes out and they haven't really thought, oh, where are we actually going to put them? I know that people are riding them and that sort of, they're on the streets, but they're in motion. So when they're being ridden, they're fine because they're not clogging up anything. But it's when they all stop in exactly the same place, which is pinch points,
yes,
near the tube, etc., near the park, near the fun run.
Yeah.
Everyone plonks them there at the same time and you can't get it all out for flipping line bikes.
They need to get some kind of line bike referee or line bike warden, shouldn't they? Like, I could be on the quiet carriage and you could be on the pinch points and we could change the world, make the world a better place, me and you.
Don't you dare stop there, son. Move it around the corner. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you very much for listening to the show with the Pressure and Frosty. This has been your May episode. We'll be back with you in June. You can get in contact with us, pressureandfrosty@gmail.com or on X at pressure_frosty.
Amazing. Hold yourself down. Stay safe. Be lucky. Thanks very much for hosting us once again. And I'll see you on Saturday, eh? In Angel, 2:30.
Yeah, exactly. See you then. Bye-bye for now.
It's time
bye-bye
to say goodbye. But there's no need to cry. We'll be back again sometime. The show with the Pressure and Frosty.